Welcome to worship, everyone. It is a glorious morning. It's a glorious morning that the Lord has made. Made by our God who gives us freedom, this wonderful day, and who calls us to be closer to Him. It is right that we gather together to worship our God. My name is Todd Misfelt. Pastor Kim is on sabbatical this month, but she has not forgotten us.
Reading two scripture selections this morning. The first one is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then from the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning with verse 23. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here."
Well, thank you, Karen. Tomorrow, Monday, July 4th, we celebrate the founding of our nation, the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, according to the Star Spangled Banner. And as Americans, we pride ourselves for being free. We are free to choose. Nobody can tell us what to do. Well, today I want to talk about two aspects of freedom. The first aspect is what we as Americans are proud of, and that is we are free to choose. We have that freedom. And freedom to choose is a powerful idea. You may remember as children, especially as teenagers, we cannot wait to turn 18 and to be able to choose from ourselves, to be free from, you know, the rules and regulations of our parents. But when we turned 18, well, what happened? Was it all freedom? We were free to buy whatever we wanted, but we weren't free from the necessity to pay for what we were buying or to earn the money to pay for that stuff, right? We had the freedom to stay up all night partying, but we weren't free from the consequences of the next day. Freedom is not being able to only do is what we want without consequences. It just means that we are free to choose and we have no one else to blame. So our freedom in the United States is not the only freedom that we have. Christians believe that they can, that there is another freedom, a freedom in Jesus, that we are free in Christ. And as you heard Karen just read, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Galatia, says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are free in Christ. Good news. Hallelujah. Okay, time for the benediction. Let's go, right? Well, as we saw with our freedom when we turned 18, there's more to our freedom in Christ than just choosing. It does mean, though, we have the freedom to choose Christ, to choose God, or to not choose Him. That's our choice. And God's given that to us for better or for worse. And there's a hint of more of that in that passage from Galatians. In the NIV, they translate that verse as two different sentences. But in the original Greek, it's one thought. Let me read the whole thing again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again a yoke of slavery. Yoke of slavery. How can we be both free and in slavery? Well, to answer that, I want you to consider the words of a black pastor and scholar, Sheryl Sanders, as she describes the lesson learned by slaves shortly after the American Civil War, in which they were freed. She says, the freed slaves soon came to understand two dimensions of freedom, released from the old securities and dependencies on one hand, and taking on new risks and responsibilities on the other. So just as when we turned 18 and we shifted from legally being children to legally being adults, along with that freedom came new responsibilities. And the same thing happens when we become followers of Christ. We are released from those old securities and those old dependencies, that old slavery, if you will. But then, too, we become aware of new responsibilities that will confront us. And when faced with those, it's easy to backslide, you know, back into our old habits. Perhaps we are thinking that we think poorly of ourselves, that, you know, maybe I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this freedom. I don't deserve Christ's love. No, that's not right. We are a child of God. Jesus has paid the price for anything we've done wrong in the past. He loves us. We are worthy because of his sacrifice. He has paid that debt for any failing. We must leave that past behind us and turn our eyes towards him and embrace our future with Jesus. Perhaps we have an old habit of not feeling in control of ourselves. It's too hard to resist our old ways. We want to go back to what's easy. We want to go back into that slavery. No, we do not need to walk alone in this. We do not need to do it ourselves. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, and Gospel, that means good news. And that's good news for all of us. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. You know this verse. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, Jesus is with us. We can turn our backs on that slavery and those old beliefs with his help. Perhaps that old habit is doubting what Jesus said was true. We think that perhaps, you know, heaven isn't so real, that I have to get everything out of this life that I can. No, heaven is as real as Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, there is a place with him for eternity. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Perhaps our old ways, instead of thinking that we can't help ourselves, perhaps we think too much of our ability. I may plead guilty to that in the past. We think that we can do it all, even hold on to Christ by our own efforts. No, we cannot do it ourselves. We must not look only to our own abilities. That's like making us a false god. We can't do it all by ourselves. We have to look to Jesus alone, to his sacrifice, and to the grace of God. Charles Spurgeon, a 19th century English pastor, wrote, "Remember, therefore, it is not your hold of Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It is not your joy in Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It is not even faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit. Therefore, look not so much to your hand with which you are grasping Christ as to Christ. Look not to your hope, but to Jesus, the source of your hope. Look not to faith, but to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You shall never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our doings, or our feelings. It is what Jesus is that gives rest to our souls." That reminds me of the classic music plot where one of the characters, they're in a fight or they're fleeing, and they fall over a cliff. And as they're falling, they grasp onto this scraggly bush on the cliff, right? And they're holding on for dear life. But they can't hold on their own. You know, and that's kind of like us when we try to hold on to Jesus. We try to hold with our own efforts, but like that character on the cliff, our grip loosens and we begin to fall to a certain death. But in that classic movie scene, right, someone else reaches down, grabs a person's arm, and pulls them to safety. But, you know, that's Jesus reaching down to pull us closer to him. Instead of us pulling ourselves to Jesus, Jesus pulls us to him. Spurgeon's point is exactly this. We don't hold on to Christ, but Christ holds on to us. He says, "Remember, it is not your hold of Christ that saves you. It is Christ." So we've seen that we can be burdened by slavery towards our own ways. But Jesus helps us with those burdens if we ask him. And in my experience, if we're in the habit of asking him, those burdens get less and less over time. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, of what Christ did for us. He says, "It is Christ who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father." And later in chapter 5, verse 16, he continues, I think, and he says, "Live by the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, because it's those desires that will pull us back into slavery, into our own ways." Second aspect of freedom, that of our freedom in Christ, is that it doesn't mean that we're necessarily free from oppression. And there's something else that goes with it. To illustrate this, I want to point back to the passage from Acts that Karen read, right? Paul and Silas were grabbed, they were thrown in prison, put in chains. But they were singing that night. Did you catch that? And then the earthquake came and the door sprang open. But Paul and Silas remained. Paul says, "But we are here." It's not what you expected, right? The doors fly open and everyone runs away, right? If you're prisoners, you want to escape. So are Paul and Silas prisoners? Well, on the one hand, they're in chains. They can't go anywhere. So physically, they're prisoners and not free. But verse 25 says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Well, that kind of sounds like they were free. And I dare say, I would say they're free in Christ. Their bodies were bound in chains, and they were in prison, yet they were free, free in Christ. And I think there's a lesson here for all of us. No matter what our circumstances, our physical situation, the passage tells us that we too can be freed in Christ. If Paul and Silas in prison can be free, then so can we. And so are we. Because our freedom in Christ begins in our hearts and our minds. Black theologian James Cone writes, from the perspective of a people who are well known to lack of freedom, to a slavery. And he writes curiously that only the oppressed are free. I had to think about this one when I first read this. But freedom and oppression. Cone points to the example of Israel. He says that the relationship between freedom and suffering is also evident in the biblical tradition. The election of Israel to share in Yahweh's liberation is not a position of privilege, but of terrible responsibility. So ironically, being free doesn't mean we're free from oppression. And when we are free in Christ, it doesn't mean that we're free from temptation. We're free from the criticism of non-believers or attacks from the devil. No, we still have those. However, when we choose to be free in Christ, just like Paul and Silas, our minds, our bodies, and our souls are free, no matter the location of us, our bodies, and the situation. Back in 1776, the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence knew they were taking a risk when they signed that document. If their efforts failed, King George was not likely to look very kindly upon their efforts. But they chose to take that risk. They freely took that risk. And when we accept Jesus, we freely choose to take risks. Because we will change from where we were before. James Cone writes that being free means the only real choice is risking it all. No halfway in. We need to risk it all. Now, I will acknowledge that we may be afraid of risk, right? The certainty of how things are now can be very comforting. That's where faith comes into the picture. And that's where our faith in Christ can carry us through that uncomfortable part, that risk that we may be afraid of. Our faith in Christ will erase any doubt and any unease. Because we remember, we are not alone in this. As Paul writes to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he says, therefore, beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more so now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to will and to work for his good pleasure. So risk it all with Jesus. Turn your back on your old ways. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, our objective. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize, which is for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what is a prize that Paul talks about? It is spending our life after this world with Him. It's the sacrifice that Christ has set us free from this bondage of death and sin with His cross, with His death on the cross. And that's the prize we must risk everything for. So if you've never risked it all for Jesus, commit yourself to that. Don't hold back. Turn your backs on that past slavery. Risk it all for Him. If you slip back into a bit of slavery, turn your eyes to Jesus. Depend upon Him. If you're trying to do it all yourself, focus on Jesus and let Him take your hand. The author of the book of Hebrews writes, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith." Jesus is a perfecter of our faith, and we are truly alive in Him. Join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, You paid the price so that we could be free to choose life with You over slavery to our past lives of desire, selfishness, disappointment, and isolation. We freely choose to have faith. We choose to place our trust in You. We choose to follow You with our whole heart, body, and soul. The Bible tells us that You will not disappoint. You will not abandon us. You will love us. If we focus upon You, Lord, You will help us with our burdens and lead us to the place that You have prepared for us, where we can be with You forever. As we celebrate the freedom of our nation, we remember the freedom that we have in Christ. We thank You for Your loving grace that enables us to seize hold of You and to never let go. Bless You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Be all glory and honor to You, Jesus.
I love the part in the scripture with Paul and Silas, and it said, "And their chains came off." And for us as Christians, my prayer is that our chains have come off. For Christ has paid the price. He's broken those chains through His pain, His suffering, His death, and resurrection. And as Todd was speaking, he was talking about freedom. The table that we come to today is not only the table of the Lord, it's the table of freedom. Freedom to be the people that God wants us to be. And so we come and we partake today. And on the night our Lord was betrayed, while eating with His disciples, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of this, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God, given for all who believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior. We believe in an open communion here at West Valley Presbyterian Church. All who profess Jesus as Lord and Savior are welcome to partake today.
Our chains are gone through the unfathomable love and grace of God. If you wish to pray to God after the service, there'll be people up in front who would love to pray with you, whether it's a praise or a concern or a request. But now we can thank our God who gives us the freedom to choose Jesus, to reach out to Jesus, and to let Jesus take our arms. Go forth this week to love and serve the Lord and to walk hand in hand with Christ.